I'm Mark Job with Fillmore Street. This is FieldPod.com. The Week in Georgia, in English, coming to you from under the warm California sun in the city by the bay. Today is Thursday, the 9th of March, 2017. On this date in 1500, a fleet of ships led by Pedro Alvarez Cabral leaves Portugal for the West Indies, lands in Brazil, which it claims for the Portuguese crown under the Treaty of Tordesillas, which divides newly conquered lands in the Atlantic between Portugal and Spain. 1831, the French Foreign Legion is established by King Louis Philippe to support his war in Algeria. 1841, the U.S. Supreme Court rules that in U.S. versus Amistad case that the captive Africans who seized control of the Amistad, a slave ship, had been taken into captivity illegally, so they were entitled to do whatever necessary to regain their freedom. The case was widely publicized and helped strengthen the abolitionist movement in the United States. Good movie, too. 1933, President Franklin D. Roosevelt submits the Emergency Banking Act to Congress, the first of his New Deal policies. Also very, very different than how the 2008 crisis was dealt with. Interesting to see the differences. 1956, protests in Tbilisi are brutally suppressed by Soviet soldiers, with dozens or hundreds of people killed, depending on the different estimates. Hundreds of others are injured, and hundreds more subsequently arrested and deported to labor camps in Siberia. The protests were started by students angry about Nikita Khrushchev's secret speech denouncing Stalin, in which he also made some anti-Georgian comments. Later, they expressed more concrete demands, including the removal of Khrushchev from office. What they were actually ticked off about is a matter of some discussion. Interesting to talk to them while some of them are still around. This demonstration, who started it, why and how that connects Georgian national identity with other issues and their attitudes towards Russia and the Soviet state is an extremely interesting thing to dive into, and I'd encourage it. 1959, the Barbie doll appears for the first time in at the American International Toy Fair in New York City. Birthdays are Yuri Gagarin, Bobby Fischer, and Bobby Sands. I'm your host, Mark Mullen, podcast written by Joe Larson. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to tbilpod.com, that's tblpod.com, or send us an email at tbilpod@gmail.com. As you no doubt have heard, the Supreme Court ruled against the Rustavioti's current ownership, which is led by Georgi and Levon Karamanishvili, two brothers who are close associates of Misha. The current owners also lost in the court of first instance and in the appeals court, so the Supreme Court was their last chance. Now the station is to be handed over to Kibar Halvashi, the previous owner, who claims the station was taken from him under threat from Misha back in 2006. The nine-person court, chaired by Nino Gvenitadze, issued its ruling on the 2nd of March. Just minutes after that, hundreds of people gathered in front of Rustavioti headquarters to show support for the station's current owners and employees. The demonstration was joined by a broad group of opposition politicians and civil society activists, most of whom believed the ruling was politically motivated and an example of Otsneva's influence over the courts, which is no doubt accurate. A number of international bodies also expressed concern. The U.S. Embassy gave a statement voicing concern about the ruling party and how it might affect the influence of opposition voices in Georgia's broadcast media. Dundua Mayatovich, the representative for the Organization of Security Cooperation in Europe, or OSCE, called the ruling disappointing and a huge blow to media pluralism. Following the ruling, Nika Gvaramia, director general of Rustavioti, urged Kibar Halvashi to sell the station's shares to its current staff. The proposal came after Halvashi told TV Pirveli that he doesn't need the station and that he just wants to be materially compensated for his lost property, which is ridiculous since he was given the stuff anyway and never had anything to do with it. Because he was Okroashvili's buddy. He also said those members of the staff who want to keep their jobs can keep their jobs. By selling the shares, Halvashi would get paid and the station would be able to continue its editorial policy. Obviously, they're just trying to make it cost as much money as possible for Rustavioti to stay in business and continue broadcasting, because Halvashi can ask for whatever he wants to see if anybody coughs it up. Halvashi would get paid, the station would be able to continue its editorial policy. However, there is no indication that he plans to do that. The ruling was suspended, and this is interesting, by the Chamber of the European Court of Human Rights, or ECHR. The ECHR issued an official letter to the government saying that the ruling should be suspended until further notice and that the authorities should not interfere with the station's editorial policy in the meantime. That would mean that the ruling stays in place, but the government doesn't enforce it. The suspension came after 34 non-governmental organizations, 15 opposition political parties, and more than 100 media representatives appealed to the ECHR, claiming that the fair trial principle was breached throughout the judicial proceedings and that it raised doubts about the about judicial independence. And certainly, the fair trial principle was indeed breached. There's no indication yet how long the suspension will be in place, but the ECHR said it is confident the government will follow it. And it has so far as I know. Following up on the scandal surrounding the Georgian Orthodox Church, senior church officials met this week to discuss the recent poisoning scandal. Archpriest Gheorghe Mamaladze has been charged with attempting to murder Shorena Teturashvili, who's Ilya's the second secretary. He was arrested when in possession of cyanide at Tbilisi International Airport last month. That was discussed at the meeting of the Holy Synod, the highest authority within the church that includes the patriarch, metropolitans, archbishops, and bishops, so 47 clerics in total. On Wednesday, the prosecutor's office released the preliminary results of its investigation into the case, confirming that Teturashvili was the target of the alleged poisoning attempt. She was with Ilya in Berlin when Mamaladze was arrested. The prosecutors also said that Mamaladze has not provided credible answers to any of the questions asked by investigators, and that that information he provided contradicts the evidence they've discovered. Mamaladze's lawyer, Gheorghe Pansulaya, hit back, saying the prosecutors are building their case around fabricated recordings that allegedly depict the priests attempting to buy cyanide. In a related story, the Metropolitan, which is sort of a cardinal of Chikondidi Petre Tsava, told media he was reprimanded during the Holy Synod meeting for speaking publicly in support of Mamaladze. Tsava has been adamant that Mamaladze is innocent, and the whole thing is an intrigue engineered by Teturashvili. Following up on visa liberalization, the final text of the decision to grant visa free travel to Georgian passport holders was published in the EU's official magazine on Wednesday. According to EU regulations, visa liberalization will go into effect 20 days after publication of the decision. So, as we've reported and said before anybody else, it will be the 28th of March. In travel to and from Georgia, delegation from NATO's military committee spent 2 days in Tbilisi last week to discuss implementation of Georgia's substantial package. The delegation was led by General Petr Pavel, and it met with Defense Minister Levan Izoria and other Georgian officials, visited the Joint Training Center at Kurtsanisi. Prime Minister Kvitikashvili was in Rome for the Georgia-Italy Business Forum. He also met with Italian Prime Minister Paolo Gentiloni, and they celebrated the 25th anniversary of diplomatic relations between the two countries. Foreign Ministry condemned the Abkhaz authorities' closing of two crossing points between Abkhazia and the rest of Georgia, the Nabakevi Kurcha and Meore Otobaya Orsantia closure. Those are the names of them. The closures make it more difficult for ethnic Georgians living in Gali district to cross the administrative boundary line into Samegrelo. The statement says the closures violate freedom of movement, access to health care and education for the local population, and that they impede progress towards peaceful resolution of the conflict. The closure has also been criticized by the UN, EU, NATO and US, UK and OSCE, Lithuania and Japan. Austria's Minister of Foreign Affairs, Sebastian Kurz, proposed creating EU-supported refugee camps outside of the EU, including Georgia. The proposal was rejected by the Georgian government, saying the country already has 274,000 internally displaced persons and it can't take on any more obligations to refugees. The proposal sparked a lot of controversy. Russian state-sponsored media outlets such as Sputnik portrayed it as a policy being imposed by the EU in exchange for granting a visa liberalization to Georgia. In reality, it was an idea put forth by one country's foreign minister who's a bit of a wacko and not an actual proposal from the EU. The EU is also quick to make clear that Georgia's visa liberalization is not in any way connected to the refugee policy. That said, it's not necessarily such a bad thing for Georgia to take in significantly more refugees than it already does, particularly those that would be interested in depopulated farming areas. In South Ossetia, former President Edward Kokoiti was detained, was denied a chance to run for president again. According to the region's election administration, he submitted incomplete materials and failed to meet the 5-year residency requirement because he's been living in Russia for part of that time. 5 candidates are set to run in the polls, including incumbent leader Leonid Tibilov, parliamentary chairman Anatoly Bibilov, State Security Committee officer Alan Gagulov, and 2 more candidates, Alan Kozunov and Amiran Bagayev. Registration closes on the 15th of March. Voting will be held on the 9th of April. Public broadcaster announced it's going to postpone a planned shutdown of the station's programming. The shutdown will start on the 17th of July, and programming will go back online in September. During the shutdown, only one of the station's current 101 programs will air. From the 31st of March to the 17th of July, the broadcaster will consider applications for new programs. A shutdown was first proposed last month by new director, General Director Vasiko Makhlaparidze. It has been criticized by the political opposition and civil society organizations. According to Makhlaparidze, it's intended to reform the station and make it financially viable. The basic idea is to end the programs during summer in the hopes that nobody will notice too much what doesn't show up again in the fall. It's totally unnecessary to the process of changing and reforming the station. Prime Minister proposed establishment of a media ombudsman's office tasked to monitor the country's media environment. He framed the proposal as a measure to ensure freedom of speech and media pluralism. The ombudsman office would include international media rights activists and would monitor developments surrounding Rustav Yori, the public broadcaster, and other media outlets. Not such a bad idea, except that everybody already understands exactly what is happening with the courts being used by the political leadership to put pressure on Rustav Yori. Georgia will host the NATO Parliamentary Assembly's 2017 spring session this May. The session will take place from the 26th through the 29th of May. At the session, all 5 of the Assembly's committees will hold one-day meetings, and on the last day, the Assembly will hold a plenary meeting. As reported by Eurasianet's Josh Kuseta, the Defense Ministry plans to scrap its entire fleet of Su-25 attack planes and replace them with drones. The move is a recognition that the 12-plane fleet would be of little use anyway if Georgia is attacked by Russia, given the forward positions of air defense systems in Abkhazia and South Ossetia, in violation of international law, of course. The Inguri hydropower plant, which supplies most of Abkhazia's energy, resumed its operation following a temporary shutdown for monitoring its pressure tunnel. Next year, a bigger renovations plan. Russian President Vladimir Putin pardoned Oksana Sevastidi, a woman who was convicted of high treason earlier this year for sending a text message to a friend in Georgia before the August war in 2008. A resident of Sochi, Sevastidi reported seeing a number of Russian military trains headed towards the border with Abkhazia during the month prior to the war. Her conviction was criticized by human rights activists who said the Kremlin wanted to punish her for spreading truthful but inconvenient information about the run-up to the war. The investigation came 8 years after her text messages. The pardon forced her to admit guilt in order to stop serving the already substantial amount of time she had served. Bloomberg published its 2017 Billionaires Index. Bidzina is ranked 276th in the world with a net worth of $5.2 billion. Index is topped by Bill Gates with $85.6 billion, followed by investor Warren Buffett and Jeff Bezos of Amazon. A group of gender equality activists marched in Tbilisi on the 8th of March, which was also International Women's Day. The march was led by members of the Independent Group of Feminists, or IGF. The group believes that in Georgia, women aren't allowed to have control over their bodies and sexuality, and that men turn control of women's bodies into an issue of national identity. Several men confronted the demonstrators, but as reported by OC Media, police ensured that men did not interfere with the march. 200 internally displaced families received new flats near Tbilisi Sea this week. The flats were provided by the Ministry of Refugees. According to the 2017-18 National Action Plan for Refugees, 4,000 internally displaced people will receive accommodation this year and next. Roads Department is currently working on strengthening the coastline near Kobuleti to better protect the beach from storm waves. Demonstrators clashed with police outside the city council building on Thursday. As reported by Interpress News, demonstrators are people affected by last month's fire at the Children's World store near Station Square. They're demanding compensation from the government for their lost property. There was a gas explosion on Politovskaya Street on Wednesday, which started an apartment fire that injured one person. The authorities are still investigating the case of the fire. Strong winds damaged one building and a number of vehicles in the village of Sagareggio in Cajeti. Winds tore up the roof of one building, damaging about 10 vehicles in the surrounding area. Nobody was injured. Geostat published new statistics on inflation during the month of February. Prices went up by 5.5% from the same point in 2016. The biggest increases were for alcohol, tobacco, and transportation. But food prices also increased 5.5% from February 2016. Clothing and footwear are 3.8% cheaper than they were a year ago. An $85 million aircraft component factory set to open near Tbilisi International Airport next year. The factory will produce parts for Boeing, Airbus, and Bombardier civilian planes for export, and it's a joint venture between the Partnership Fund and the Israeli company Elbit Cyclone. The plant will employ roughly 100 people who will be trained by specialists from Israel. Construction began late last year, and it's scheduled to be finished by the end of 2017. The German company MR Graft plans to build a new wind power plant near Zestaponi. This week, the Energy Department Fund and Ministry of Energy signed a partnership company agreement with MR Graft to set up the joint venture. A technical study will be carried out over the next 18 months. Total investment in the project is predicted to be roughly $227 million. The Anaklia Development Consortium has completed its 50-year general plan for the Anaklia Deepwater Black Sea Port. Plan is now being considered by the government commission in charge of the project. Construction is expected to begin later this year, and the port will begin operating in 2020. The Quadroom Hotel in Gudauri is set to open its doors on the 11th of March with prices starting at $90 a night. The hotel is made from repurposed shipping containers. It's shaped like a pyramid and contains 12 rooms. According to the National Wine Agency, Georgia exported 8.7 million bottles of wine in January and February, a 94% increase from the same period in 2016. Those exports were worth $20.5 million. Exports to Russia amounted to over 5.7 million bottles, 65% of the total. Parliamentary news. The Parliament will soon start considering a bill to establish a deposit insurance scheme within Georgia's banking system. The bill has already been approved by the government, now needs to go through Parliament. If passed, it will go into effect from the 1st of January 2018. According to Deputy Finance Minister Nicholas Gagua, the establishment of deposit insurance is within the framework of Georgia's association agreement with the EU and will help make the banking system more stable. Meme this week is a funny take on the iconic Rosie the Riveter propaganda poster from the Second World War. Instead of Rosie, this vision features a Georgian man cleaning and taking care of a baby and encourages other men by telling them they can do the same. Meme was posted by Lasha Kaptaradze. It was first posted in 2013. We got a lot of shares on International Women's Day. Stuff to read. Writing for Eurasianet, Ken Steer looks at the Nguri hydro power complex that straddles the border between Georgia and South Ossetia. The dam was recently closed for structural repairs, as we noted above, highlighting the necessity for cooperation between the two sides. Nguri is Abkhazia's primary source of electricity, and Georgia helped fill the gap while the dam was out of commission. Typically, about 40% of electricity produced by Nguri in a given year goes to the Abkhaz side. Also for Eurasianet, Gyorgy Lomsadze covers the Roustavioti ruling. He questions whether free speech is actually at stake and whether the station is headed for a standoff. Law enforcement officials, when they attempt to enter the premises, Roustavioti staff said they will not comply with the Supreme Court order change in ownership, regardless of whether Otsneba meddled in the court proceedings or not, which they did. Roustavioti is the country's only major pro-opposition television station, and changing its editorial policy would not be good for media pluralism. Natia Mestrishvili of the Caucasus Research Centers writes critically about International Women's Day, arguing that instead of flowers, what Georgian women really need is protection of their basic rights. She lists a number of statistics, including the high number of sex-selective abortions, the fact that Georgia has the highest maternal mortality rate in the region, and that women on average earn 40% less than men for the same work. The hardest working NGO in the South Caucasus is Transparency International. Georgia issues its statement on Rustavi Ori's ruling. The organization's stance is clear. In all three instances of judicial proceedings, including the Supreme Court's final deliberation, the courts did not meet the requirements of the independent court decision, and the process raised doubts about the government's interference in the courts. The proceedings left the impression that the government is trying to take control over Rustavi Ori, which would be a blow to media pluralism and democracy and threaten Georgia's Euro-Atlantic integration process. The statement was co-signed by a number of civil society organizations, including Georgia's Open Society Foundation, the Economic Policy Research Center, and Georgia's Institute of Politics, and quite a few others. Luis Navarro has a new piece for Foreign Policy Research Institute touching upon the media landscape after the Rustavi Ori ruling. He makes the somewhat questionable claim that if implemented, the ruling will result in Georgia's broadcast meeting being primarily pro-Russian. I would say primarily Russian silent. I'm not sure about that, them being pro-Russian, but certainly it would be a change in the attitude towards Russia. He also says that just like its predecessor, the Otsneva government falsely conflates being pro-Western with being pro-democratic and puts the desire to punish its political opponents ahead of its commitment to free speech. Bloomberg has an interview with Zachary Whitlin of the Eurasia Group, who provides an update on the financial implications of the war in eastern Ukraine. Most of Ukraine's economy is gradually recovering, but the separatist territories are really hurting, and they want more financial support from Russia. Also, separatist leaders are getting frustrated with the relative stalemate. By the way, Pomerantsev, who wrote Nothing is True, Everything is Possible, was in Tbilisi with Radarami this past week, and the book is available at all Biblos bookstores and most Georgian libraries in a Georgian translation. At Biblos bookstore, they are only 2 lari and seem to be selling quickly, so if you want to get one as a present for somebody, go out and pick them up quick. The German online magazine Ostpol covers 21 women who are making major social impact in Eastern Europe. One of them is Tamar Cergulashvili, the director of Tabula, who is married to Giga Bokeri of the Movement for Liberty European Georgia. Also, there's Irma Inashvili on the opposite end of the ideological spectrum, who is fighting for traditional values, or at least pretending to, and trying to keep Western influence out of Georgia at the behest of the Kremlin, in my view. OC Media covers the controversy surrounding the area near Orbeliani Square and the Dry Bridge, where occupants are being evicted to make way for renovation works. Families and business owners will be relocated by City Hall for nearly a year while the work is performed. Many people living there claim they were informed about it only a week ago and were told to vacate by the end of this week. The renovations are part of the new Tiflis project, which was behind the renovation of Agmashenabeli Avenue that took place last year. All this stuff to read is posted on our forum. This week's dive bar number is 720, the number of square kilometers that make up Tbilisi's official land area. That's roughly the same as Budapest, Brussels, and Nice. Synodoc Tbilisi is putting a Women in Focus film festival that ends on Friday, the 10th of March. Tomorrow, they'll be screening documentary films by female directors at Rustavelli Cinema. Film shows at 6 and 8 p.m. each night. Georgia's national rugby team, the Lelos, are playing against Russia on the 12th of March at Dynamo Arena. Tickets are available online and range from 5 to 20 lari. Gates open at 4 p.m. The match starts at 6. Georgian Institute of Politics, in cooperation with Tbilisi State University, is holding a policy conference on religion and soft power in the South Caucasus on the 13th and 14th of March. Conference takes place at the university building in Chavchavadze number 1. If interested in attending, please contact Mariam Achalkatsi at country code 995-599-990212. The Tbilisi Toastmasters Club is holding its next meeting on Wednesday, the 15th of March at 7:30 at Hangar Bar. They are a good group for meetings, fun way to improve your public speaking skills. If you're interested in getting involved, contact Tyler Green at Tyler, T-Y-L-E-R, dot Green, G-R-E-E-N, at B as in Bravo, F as in Foxtrot, consulting.com, BF Consulting, all written together. Georgia's National English Language Spelling Competition, or NESCGE, will take place in Tbilisi State University on the 25th of March. The competition lasts all day with separate categories for 8th and 9th graders and 10th through 12th graders. The event is free to attend. The NESCGE is supported by U.S. Peace Corps. We're talking about English language spelling. I think Georgian language spelling competition would be much less interesting. Not that English spelling is so interesting, but anyway. Now, featured at the National Library of Parliament of Georgia is the Barbare Georgiadze Room, which includes a digital library for works from Georgian women writers and scholars from the 19th and 20th centuries. It's available as a space for meetings and discussions. Its establishment was led by Lela Gaprindashvili, Ida Bukhturidze, and Tamta Melashvili, and came with support from UNDP and the Women's Fund of Georgia. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is tpeelpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.tpeelpod.com. And we will finish with, from 2001, from Essex in England, this is Gorillaz with 19-2000 and the Soul Child remix.
It's the music that we choose. 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 The world is spinning too fast. I'm fine that I can choose to keep myself tethered to the days I tried to lose. My mama said to slow down, you must make your own shoes. Stop dancing to the music, I've got riddles in a happy mood. Keep my mood on. Watching a fake betrayal, caught up in the conflict between his brain and his tail. And if time's elimination, then we got nothing to lose. Please repeat the message, it's the music that we choose. Keep on our groove on.
Get the cool, get the cool to shine, get the cool, get the cool to shine, get the cool, get the cool to shine, get the cool, get the cool to shine.
I can't breathe down yet.